This is Sam Darmacena, and you're listening to CJRU 1280 AM. This story is part of the Local Journalism Initiative.
A good place to live is also a good place to visit, and, you know, vice versa. So, you know, it's not just about trying to make your community a tourism destination. It's making it a vibrant place where people want to live and people want to visit. And people want to visit for the things that local people enjoy. So it's not that you create something for tourists to visit, because then the tourists will not be interested in what's going on around that central attraction, right? You want people that care about the local community and are interested in what the local community is. And so, you know, making it a good place to live and a good place to visit that are connected and consistent, relatively consistent with each other is important to, you know, for the kind of ecosystem of that community.
That's Dr. Tom Griffin, assistant professor here at Ryerson at the School of Hospitality and Tourism. He's also the assistant director of the Hospitality and Tourism Research Institute, which revolves around conducting applied research projects and providing students with opportunities to learn and grow. We talk about our changing relationship to travel and its connections to business improvement areas known as BIAs, as well as the changing housing market. But first, we talk about the impact that the pandemic has had on Dr. Griffin's work as a professor.
It's been kind of strange, to be honest, because last semester I taught an intro to tourism class. So first year, 300 students, and it's intro to tourism. It was tough to kind of figure out what do we do with this? How do we, you know, so there's the logistical part of it, of just actually how do you turn, you know, I used to have 300 students in a theater, you know, which is a real different experience than, you know, I'm in my spare bedroom now, right? So that part of it. But then also, you know, what should I be teaching? Like how do I actually, and so kind of what I did was I made quite a distinction between the theory of tourism and the application of that theory and what's going on in the world. So I made a decision to make pre-recorded videos of the theory, like the textbook basically. And then in class we would, and in assignments, we'd talk about how that might, you know, play out in tourism in general, but also, you know, how do we look at that in a COVID world?
Dr. Griffin gives an example of the type of discussions that took place in his recent Tourism 101 class. Theoretically, there are certain motivations for travel, and while our activities are shifting, those theories still stand.
So there's like a classic tourism theory about tourism motivations, right? You know, what inspires us? Why do we want to travel in the first place? And there are things like relaxation, learning, spending time, you know, interpersonal kinship, right? And so when we look at like traditional tourism a year ago, you know, it was quite easy, you know, you could pull that out, right? But you can still use those same motivations to look at, you know, tourism over the summer, like people had gone camping, people, you know, and so you can just apply those same theories and model to what's been happening and what might happen, right? Like people might not be so excited about traveling for excitement and difference. People might be traveling because they want to see their friends and family, for example, or, you know, they want to just go to a different neighborhood, right? But you can still use those same theories and discussions to apply to today.
And on the research side, Dr. Griffin has an interest in BIAs and how they relate to tourism. If you're not familiar with BIAs, here's a definition.
Essentially, they are associations of local businesses who pay a levy or a fee to this organization, and this organization represents that neighborhood. And you know, typically they will do things like beautify the neighborhood. So, you know, we might think about park benches and streetlights and signage and flowers. They often do festivals and events. So that might be a big annual, you know, like Taste of the Danforth type event, or it might be something really small, you know, like having a musician on a street corner or a juggler or a face painter or something like that.
There are about 80 BIAs, give or take, across the city of Toronto. Not all neighborhoods have a BIA, and their structures can vary a lot. Some may have large teams and budgets and are in a position to explore tourism on top of their business-oriented tasks. Others might be working with small teams, part-time staff, and just trying to make the best with the resources at their disposal.
So I got interested into looking at BIAs from a tourism perspective. And so, you know, many BIAs have within their mandate or within their literature, you know, one of their responsibilities is to attract visitors to the community to spend money. And so, you know, in the tourism world, we look at DMOs, which are destination marketing organizations. So in Toronto, we have Destination Toronto, and in Ontario, there's Destination Ontario. And what these guys do, they're predominantly marketers. And so they go out and they say, please come to our destination. And they do promotions and social media and pay for influencers and all that kind of stuff. And in some ways, BIAs kind of perform that role at the neighborhood local level. And many of them have that in their mandate, as I said. And so I was kind of just curious about how BIAs think about tourism or the visitor economy and what they actually do, what they think the impacts are, how they deal with it and what they think about it.
Dr. Griffin's research began with BIAs in Toronto. And when the pandemic hit, he began interviewing BIAs across the country, alongside fellow Ryerson professor, Dr. Walter Jameson, master's student Natasha Francis, and undergrad student Annie Bird. Together, they've spoken to 40 BIAs and BIA-related people, and they're gathering information around the context of BIAs in this moment.
And this isn't like the impact of COVID on BIA study, but just kind of getting that context and then trying to think about, well, you know, what could tourism and the visitor economy mean to BIAs now, but also moving forward as a kind of a strategy to develop the local economy, cultural development as well, you know, because tourism drives and affects cultural development, and really, yeah, looking at how tourism and visitor economy in a post-COVID world could be used by BIAs as a strategic development tool.
With less international travel, Dr. Griffin sees a unique opportunity when it comes to the impact that BIAs can have amidst the pandemic and in our post-COVID world. Not only that, more people are moving out of the downtown core and opting for the suburbs or some of the greener neighborhoods of Toronto, and he thinks that it will shape the BIA and tourism conversation as well.
So new residents have this, they have some similarities to tourists, right? Because when you move to a new place, you don't know it, you want to get to know it, you're unfamiliar. And so, you know, for BIAs, I really think there is potential to figure out what these new trends are going to be, and new residents might be one of them. A desire for more local experiences is going to be another one. And how do they engage with those trends and those changes?
Dr. Griffin notes that it's impossible to know what the impacts of the COVID-19 pandemic will have on the future of tourism. It can go in so many directions. For example, we don't know how the element of fear will manifest in our decision-making.
I mean, it could be that as soon as we hit that magic number of vaccines or whatever, and the big festival goes on, that there'll be many people saying, thank goodness, I'm going, right? It could be that, or it could not be. It could be the other way around too. And you know, I guess the closer we get there, the more confident we'll be in predicting what will happen. But right now, it's really tough.
To dive deeper into Dr. Griffin's past and current research, visit the CGRU website.
BIA started in Toronto. The first one was in Bloor West. And it was a reaction to the development of Sherway Gardens, is my understanding. You know, so to keep the main street alive, local businesses. And so I really like the intention of BIAs. It's about keeping local neighborhood main streets alive and vibrant. So it's about, you know, local character. It's about cultural identity. It's also about small businesses.
This is Sam Darmacena, and you've been listening to CJRU 1280 AM. This story is part of the Local Journalism Initiative, a project by the Community Radio Fund of Canada.